Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Why do you give to your church? While the check may pass through its books, the real receiver of anything we give is God Himself. Today, more lessons from the Old Testament on how God views giving and why His viewpoint should become ours. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on investing for eternity. Turn with us to Exodus chapter 35 as Erwin Lutzer comes again to talk with us about worship that God accepts.
Verse 22, all who were willing brought brooches and so forth. You'll notice it says at the end of the verse, dedicating an offering of gold to the Lord. When you give, you do not give to a project. You do not give to a person. You give to the Lord. The Lord. It'll change the way in which you view your giving. It really will. Andrew Fuller was a man in England who began the Baptist organization there in another century. And someone came to him and said, since it is you, Andrew Fuller, and you are trying to raise money for this project, I shall give you £5. And he took £5 and gave it to the preacher. And Fuller says, since you think it is connected with me, I shall return the £5. You keep it. Fuller said, this offering is exclusively for the Lord. The man said, why? He says, if it is for the Lord, then I shall give 10. Let me tell you why this is so critical. If you give to a church, it is so easy to find fault with what the church does with money. I've never been in a church where I have always agreed necessarily with the way in which money is spent, at least in some small matters. You may say, well, I'm not sure that we needed this, or I'm not sure that we needed that. We here at the Moody Church have the highest standard of integrity with a finance committee that meticulously follows the instructions on your giving envelope. And we do before God the very best that we can, because we know that we are not dealing with your money, we're dealing really with God's money. But at the same time, it's easy to criticize. It's easy to find fault. And the first thing that people do when they live this way is to say, well, I don't like the way the church did this or that, and so I'm not going to give. The answer, my friend, is you give to God. This is for the Lord. The leadership of churches and organizations will answer to God for the way in which the money is spent, but this is your gift to God. It'll change the way in which you bring your offering. That offering is for the Lord. It frees you. It frees you. So it was a focused project. It was a generous project. Now, this is a passage that preachers like to refer to. And it's one that we all love to read. I mean, and you already know it. If you have been a Christian for more than 2 years, you know this passage. In chapter 36 of Exodus. Now we've turned the page to chapter 36. And it says, verse 3, and they received from Moses, it's speaking about the workmen, because God wasn't just interested in their contributions, he was interested in their work. And there were a number of people who built the tabernacle, and God gave them the wisdom to know how to do that. But you'll notice it says in verse 3, and they received from Moses all the contribution that the people of Israel had brought for doing the work of the sanctuary. They still kept bringing him freewill offerings every morning, so that all the craftsmen who were doing every sort of task on the sanctuary came, each from the task that he was doing, and said to Moses, "The people bring much more than enough for doing the work of the Lord. So Moses gave a command, and the word was proclaimed throughout the camp, let no man or woman do anything more for the contribution of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient to do all the work and more. Now, I've been a pastor for 35 years. First of all, in a small Baptist church north of here, and then Moody Church, going on toward 30 years. Just once, Lord, before I die. May I have to say to the congregation, enough already. We got more money than we can use. I think I'd probably have to live as long as my dad did before I could say that. It's a marvelous passage. You know what was happening? They had a revival. Because there's nothing that I remember in Canada in 1970 when God in Western Canada was able to work mightily in the lives of churches. And people said, we are walking knee-deep in love, and 20 churches were all participating in what God was doing. They had enough money for anything that they undertook because God opened people's hearts, and they began to give. You know, there's a wonderful passage, and I hope I can get by with saying this. I'll find out afterwards. But it says in chapter 38, and you have to see this in the text, chapter 38, verse 8. It's speaking about the man whom God gifted to build the tabernacle, he and his associates. And in chapter 38, verse 8, it says, he made the basin of bronze and its stand of bronze from the mirrors of the ministering women who ministered in the entrance of the tent of meeting. Now, you need to understand historically that they did not have glass and mirrors as we do today. And so what happened is they took pieces of brass and they polished them and polished them and polished them until you could see your image in them. And this is what the women used for mirrors. Now, I say this with a smile on my face. If you have a situation in which women are willing to give up their mirrors, you know you've got a God thing on your hands. I mean, God was all over this. God was all over this. It is amazing what people can do when God opens their hearts. It was a very generous project. It was also a glorious project. Chapter 40, you'll notice the tent is finished. The tabernacle has been built. And thank you for turning as I give these various passages. Exodus chapter 40, verse 34. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. God was saying, I approve, I accept what you have done, and because of your contribution, I will guide you with my cloud, the Shekinah, the cloud of glory that descended on the tabernacle. And I know that the whole congregation rejoiced. You say, well, Pastor Luther, what does this teach us about contributions, about money, about all these things? A couple of very important lessons. Number one, when God asks us to do something, he enables us to do it. When God asks us to do something, he enables us to do it. Have you ever asked yourself this question? We should ask ourselves these questions when we read the Bible. But how is it that slaves in a desert can come up with all this gold and silver and brass and bronze and linens and all the rest. Where in the world did that come from? Let me tell you. When God called Moses in Exodus chapter 3, when God called Moses, you know what he said to Moses? He said, my people are going to go into Egypt. They are going to be there for 400 years, and I'm going to bring them out, and they're going to have great possessions. Now you look at that and you say, wait a minute, how's that going to happen? They go to Egypt, they live there as slaves, they get whipped, they get beaten, they're asked to make all these bricks in the hot sun, and where in the world is this promise going to be fulfilled? Well, after the plagues, the Bible says that the Israelites, quote, plundered the Egyptians. The Egyptians willingly gave them all these things. Couple of reasons. First of all, the Egyptians were very happy to see them leave. Very happy to see them leave. But number two, God obviously did a miracle. And in a sense, Israel was also being paid for all the times they weren't paid in past generations for all the work that they did. But it was a miracle of God. No doubt about it. You can just imagine what happened in different homes. A woman was about to leave because she was an Israelite, and she says, you know, I really do admire that gold pitcher. And the Egyptian lady says, oh, you want a gold pitcher? Go ahead, take it. Oh, you admire those onyx stones? Put the stones in the pitcher and take both of them. Oh, you need clothes for your children? Here are two jackets. Take these two jackets. Oh, you like the linen over here that I have? I'll give you some linen. And on it went. And therefore, the Egyptians willingly gave to the Israelites all these things. Now, we need to think about this. When this was happening to the Israelites, what were they thinking? I know what they were thinking. They were human beings like me. I know exactly what I'd be thinking. I'd be thinking, you know, this is really, really my lucky day. That's what I'd be thinking. Wouldn't you be thinking that? And you know, it's not wrong to have money. It's not wrong to get a windfall. Suddenly, you know, you get the money and it's not wrong because money is important. Well, my friend, today I certainly hope that you listen next time, because you're going to be hearing the completion of this message and how it ends. It ends with a powerful example of what God does in our lives and how He expects us to relate to the funds that He has given us. And I want you to know that I'm concerned about your support for your church, for your missions budget, for this radio station. Let us be generous in all that God has given us, so that the Word of God might be able to go forth, because it is God's intention that through a community of believers, the gospel of Jesus Christ is presented to the world. It's a time for sacrifice. It's a time when we don't have much, but we can prove the faithfulness of God in our generation.
Erwin Lutzer with more of Worship That God Accepts, the first of four messages in a series on investing for eternity. Next time on Running to Win, Pastor Lutzer puts the lessons of Exodus chapter 35 in perspective for all of us. All four messages on investing for eternity can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.